The mercies of the Lord endureth forever. The mercies of the Lord endure forever. Oh, hallelujah. You've not dealt with us according to our sins, but according to your mercy. Let's praise Him for His mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for your mercies. Your mercies that are new every morning, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord in the house here at this communion service. And His presence is here at His table. We're going to leave our series on Romans this morning for a communion meditation. If you'll turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 13. We're going to look at some scriptures there to have our hearts touched with a challenge before we receive the communion here in just a few moments. If you'd stand for the reading of the Word, we're just going to read two verses right now. I'm going to call your attention to, we call this the Last Supper. We'll be mentioning that more in a moment. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." And then in verse 30, "He," Judas Iscariot, "he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." It was night. It was night. Back in verse 2 is going to be our focus, and supper being ended. I want to preach this morning on after supper. After supper. You see, we're going to pray, but I believe each communion is a possible encounter with Christ where each person decides, how is it going to be between me and Christ when I leave this Lord's table? We partake of communion every month, but may it never be a ritual. May we understand something. Each time we come to this table, we are encountering the presence of Christ, and a decision is before us. What's it going to be like once we leave the table? Amen. After supper. Heavenly Father, we pray for a continuation of the Spirit of God that we feel. The Spirit that makes Jesus real. The Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. Takes the things of Christ and makes them real. Lord, you know the heart of all people. God, get a hold of that one or that's found themselves slipping backwards and backwards and backwards. Arrest, Lord, them by your Spirit this morning, by your grace and mercy. Lord, that one that has not yet surrendered, may they not leave here a Judas, but leave here a John on the bosom of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for these things. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Verse 2, it says, supper being ended, and then the scripture goes on to give an account of some activities that took place before the supper actually ended. And so what John is saying in supper being ended, he's saying not necessarily that at that very moment it ended, but this is how the supper ended. This are the things that took place to bring about the ending of that supper. It's kind of like when the preacher says in closing and supper being ended, but then it shows you the things that took place for that supper to come to an end. But what I want to deal with this morning is the question, what happened when the supper ended? One of the things that happened when it was all over, when the supper ended, I read to you in verse 3, the thing that happened after supper was that Judas, having received the sop, the piece of bread, put in the mixture there, he went immediately out, and he went out to betray the Lord. That's what happened after supper. I want you to think for a moment how many times we use that expression every day. We talk about after supper. Isn't that right? Think about it. I mean, the children may ask, what are we going to do after supper? One spouse will ask another, what are we going to do after supper? Or we'll make the statement, after supper, we will do this. Or after supper, I'm going to take a nap. Or after supper, I'm going to go to Walmart. You see, supper is a point of demarcation in every day. Every day that we have, we use supper as a point of demarcation. And the Lord's Supper is just such a point of demarcation in each of our lives. We talk about before supper and after supper in everyday living. But I'm here to preach this morning that the Lord's Supper is a point of demarcation in our lives. What it is before this Lord's Supper and what is it going to be after the Lord's Supper? Oh, I believe it can be different after the supper than it was before the supper. I believe in partaking of the communion this morning, something can happen in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, in our souls. And after supper, it can be a different story than it was before supper. Amen. This supper I read to you about wasn't just another meal, another supper. It was the Passover where they celebrated the deliverance from Egyptian captivity by the shedding of the blood of a lamb. It was a Passover supper, but it wasn't just any Passover supper. This was the last Passover that our Lord would partake with His disciples. And in this last supper, this last Passover, Jesus institutes this communion that we are partaking of over 2,000 years later. Amen. Jesus said to His disciples, this is the last meal I'm going to eat with you before I see you in that kingdom that I'm bringing about. It's not just another supper, another Passover. It's the last supper. We call this the last supper. We look at the painting, the last supper. And in that last supper, we are brought to communion. We call it the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. And just to be clear here, South speaking to North, amen, you don't eat supper in the middle of the day and you don't eat dinner at night. Amen. Amen. Down South, we got it pretty much straight. Dinner's at 12 and supper is that evening meal. It was the evening meal. And when Judas left that last supper, it was night. It was dark. It was black. Amen. This wasn't just an ordinary supper. Amen. I'm telling you, it was the very communion. The first communion was the last supper of our Lord. I said the first communion was the last supper of our Lord. He was at the first communion and He's been at every communion since when people gather in faith to partake of it. Oh, we know what happened after that supper. But the question is, what's going to happen after this supper? We know how it was with Judas and Peter and James and John after that supper. But what's it going to be like after this supper? I believe we need an encounter with God where things are different after the supper. Amen. A communion simply means to share intimately. Being at His table means that we are going to share with Him in an intimate way. Amen. It exists even today that to share a meal with someone is to share of yourself and to share of them at that meal. That's why we are extremely uncomfortable if we're in a restaurant and there's an empty chair. If a stranger stranger were to walk up and say, is this chair open? And we have to shake our head and admit, yes, there's no one sitting there. And the stranger pulls out the chair and sits at the table with us. We're uncomfortable with that. Why? You share the table with intimates. You share the table to share fellowship. That's what communion is. We use it just as a word to describe what we do. But what it really is, Sister Chrisman, communion is when He intimately shares with us and we intimately share with Him. Oh, that's what this Last Supper was. It was a communion. He said, I desire to have this meal with my disciples before I leave. I want to sit down at the table one more time with Him and commune with Him and fellowship with Him. Oh, that's what this Last Supper was. Amen. We sing a new chorus here. Feast at His table. Taste of His goodness. I pray you experience that in this communion. Pray this morning before you leave. You just feast at His table. Oh, that you taste of His goodness. You know the fellowship with the risen Lord before you leave the house. Amen. That's what this supper is all about. Amen. But here's the question this morning. What will you do after supper? What will you do after you feasted at His table? What will you do after you've shared communion with Him? What will you do after this supper? Oh, I'm ahead of myself. But too many have become like Judas. They partaken at the table. They partaken of communion. But they leave with lives unchanged, with an allegiance to the world and the things of the world. Amen. The carnality and the fleshliness and the self-serving. But I'm telling you, it ought not to be that way. When you leave the supper table, it ought to be different because you've encountered the Lord at His table. Hallelujah. I want you to notice the startling deed. In verse 18, Jesus said, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Amen. One sitting at this table, one sitting here that has eaten bread with me, he's lifted up his heel against me. Oh, what a startling deed. One of his friends, one of his disciples, Judas, partook of communion right before he went out and betrayed his Lord. He shared the table with the Lord before he went out and betrayed him. Judas went right from sharing at that table, taking the bread from the very hand of our Lord, hearing the Lord's words as he gave final instruction to the disciples. He went from that setting to betray our Lord. What a startling deed. After supper, Judas betrayed the Lord. But you know what I have found? I have found that's a phenomena that I've often puzzled over. I have seen great moves of God right here in this building. I've seen the Holy Ghost come down in a manifest way. I've seen people under the influence of the Holy Spirit and watched them leave through those doors. Some of them never to come back in. Some of them to depart to lives of backsliddenness and all kinds of... I have marveled at that. I've seen young people in an altar at youth camp. I mean, the Holy Spirit all over them, moved upon tears coming out of their eyes. I've watched them leave that youth camp and go right out into that world and pick up where they left off in their worldly living. It's a phenomena I've puzzled about. I've said this, it's a true statement. It's so far past you won't be able to have any indication whom or what I'm talking about. But one of the greatest services we ever had in this building, amen, two families that were in that service never came back again, made up their minds in that service under a tremendous move of God, never to show up again. I've puzzled over that. I've had people ask me, why is that? Other folks have noticed that, and they have asked, how can that be? Such a great revival, and people left, never to continue to follow the Lord. And I've puzzled over that. And the closest I can get to an answer is the same thing happens in one of those services. The same thing happens in one of those revival meetings that happened at that Last Supper. The move of God will not leave you unchanged. And every time there is a move of God, there is a call to come closer. There is a call to commit. There is a call to surrender. And because that call has come, people realize they're going to have to make a decision. Do I stick with this Jesus, or do I turn from supper and go out and do my own thing? I'm not preaching this so folks may not go on to follow him. I'm saying it don't have to be that way. Amen. Make up your mind the right way. When you hear the call of commitment, when the Spirit of God moves upon you, say, I'm going to go on to serve and follow the Lord. To truly be in the presence of Jesus demands of us whether or not we will deepen our relationship with him, or turn and walk away from him. Every move of God's Spirit, every Lord's Supper, Brother Joe, when we honor him in this supper, we're called to a decision. Do I deepen my relationship with him, or do I move back and move away? The startling deed is that Judas left supper and betrayed our Lord. Secondly, there's a searching decision. Jesus had said to his disciples, when they were talking to him, he had said unto them, in fact, I wanted to get this because here's how he said it. He said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and terrified and said. I mean, this troubled Jesus. You think it bothers us that Judas left the table and betrayed Christ? Think of what it did to Jesus knowing it beforehand. He knew who should betray him. And Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. At that table, it was decision time. Judas was making a searching decision. And Jesus knew that he was going to make it the wrong way. And Judas was going to leave that to betray him. I don't think it's the first time the Lord's been troubled in spirit at his table. I think many times since the Lord had been troubled in spirit at a communion because he knew it was going to be somebody's last time, that he was calling them to a decision and they was going to make the wrong decision. They was going to walk away from the supper, and after supper they was going to be gone. How many believes the Lord's been troubled other times at one of his servants? I know Judas had already made arrangements to betray our Lord. He had made a visit to the temple authorities. He had made some arrangements. He just didn't know when and how. But now Judas, he faces whether or not he's going to actually go through with his plans to betray the Lord. And so that night, Judas had a decision to make. He had already decided to contact the authorities to betray the Lord. But was he going to go through with it? Was the Last Supper going to be the last time he spent with the Lord and leaving it to do it? I believe Judas could have repented. We sang about the mercies of the Lord. I believe Judas could have reneged on his plans. He could have repented and called out to the Lord in mercy. But what he decided in his heart came to light in that Last Supper. It was at supper time, that intimate encounter with the Lord, that Judas fully realized what this Jesus thing was really all about. I want you to get this. I'm not going to be long this morning. We got to get it. Amen. Why after supper did Judas betray the Lord? Because at that supper, he finally fully realized what it meant to follow the Lord. What did it mean? I mean, Judas had been patient. He had been listening. But it was at the supper that he concluded that all of his mulling about this. It was at that supper that it was confirmed to him that he fully finally recognized what was required of the Lord was not what he, Judas, wanted. You see, here's the way it is, and you've heard this many times, but Judas had thought Jesus would be the one to accommodate Judas's ambitions. Even he felt that through Jesus' rise to power, that he too would rise to power. He thought Jesus would throw off the domination of the Roman Empire, set Israel free. Jesus would set up a kingdom, and in that Jesus, Judas would rise with him. I have no doubt, Brother Brock, that Judas, handling the bag, felt like he'd be the Secretary of Treasury in the cabinet of the Lord. But all of a sudden, he realized Jesus has been talking about a death. Jesus has been talking about going away. He said, my plans aren't going to realize. I thought by following Jesus, I'd get a new house. I thought by following Jesus, I'd get a new car. By following Jesus, I'd never have a trial. No one ever gets sick. And now Jesus is talking about dying, and he's talking about going away, and talking about persecution of his followers. It begins to dawn on Judas what it's going to mean to follow the Lord. Not only did Jesus talk about death, look what Jesus just did. I mean, a woman came with a perfume bottle worth much money, and she broke it and poured it on the feet of Christ and wiped his feet with her hair. Oh, Judas is back there saying, look at the money that's wasted. Ostensibly, he said to give to the poor, but I can tell you what Judas was really thinking. He was thinking this. Can you imagine how many soldiers we could pay to fight for us with that money so we could have our kingdom? And Jesus says, let her alone. That's what worship's all about. Not getting money, but giving money. It's not what you get out of it. It's about giving to the Lord. And Judas scratches his head and said, I don't believe it's what I'm really after. If I keep following the Lord, I'm going to be down there with Mary at his feet, giving him my everything. I don't think I want to give. I think I want to get. And then it gets worse for Judas, because Jesus keeps on talking. And Jesus says, as he washed the disciples' feet, he said, this thing isn't about being a chief. This thing isn't about being important. This thing's about being a servant and washing your brother's feet. I'm telling you, that really got to Judas. This Jesus thing, I don't know if I want to stay in it. If I've got to be a servant to my fellow man, I'm telling you, it begins to dawn on Judas what it would mean to continue to follow Christ. When I thought, interesting, Brother Kroger, it's Judas, the carnal one. He gets it when the spiritual ones haven't yet got it. I don't understand all the reasons why. The others are still thinking Jesus is going to have this kingdom, but Judas has already got it. There's not going to be right now. It's what he didn't know. But right now, there's not going to be a kingdom. And he gets it. And so he's faced with a searching decision. Do I want to wash feet? Do I want to give my money and worship? Do I want to take up my cross and follow him? If that's what life with Jesus is going to be like, I don't think I'm ready for it. I don't think I want it. You see the thing, this is the way it always happens. Judas did not focus on all the miracles Jesus worked. Amen. Judas did not focus on all the words of life that came from the mouth of Christ. Judas didn't focus on the many wonderful things he had seen and heard. He just focused on deny yourself. Take up your cross. My kingdom's not of this world. And there he's faced with a searching decision. What's he going to do? And it was there at that table that he finalized his decision. It was there at that supper. He finally made up his mind completely to turn from the Lord and to follow through with this plans. Amen. John leaned on Jesus' breast, and Peter said to him, ask the Lord who it should be that should betray me. And Jesus answered him and said, he it is to whom I will give the sop. He it is who shall betray me. And that's exactly what happened. Judas made up his mind and stood from that supper with a made up decision and left and betrayed the Lord. Wrong decision at the Lord's table. We have to be that way. Last of all, this morning, there is the same dilemma. That's why I'm preaching this. There's the same dilemma. Every time we're at the Lord's table, partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're faced with the same dilemma. Our time at the Lord's table, our time at this Lord's Supper sets before us the same question Judas faced at the table. Will we deepen our relationship with Christ, or will we draw back? Will we move forward, or will we go away? I believe every communion is a call to commitment, devotion, fellowship. I believe every communion is an opportunity to know Christ in a deeper way. Deeper, yet I pray. I believe every communion is an occasion for a changed life. I believe every communion is the occasion for a changed perspective. I believe every communion is an occasion for a changed attitude. We're faced with the same dilemma. Every communion is a call to be answered or refused. Oh man, every communion is, will we follow our own way or follow His? You see, it's an easy thing to partake of these elements, but the question is not just, are you going to take communion this morning? The question is, what will you and I do after supper? Is this following Christ really what you want? Amen. Is denying yourself to follow His ways, is that what you're going to go through with? Amen. What do you want out of all of this? Amen. Do I want this in Christ? I'm talking about the real thing. There's churches galore that'll tell you that serving Jesus is something else. But Jesus said, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And in communion, we hear that call and cry again. I don't believe it's just communion with the elements. It's every time we have communion with the Lord, when we kneel in prayer, when the Word of God goes forth in anointing. That's communion with the Lord. What happens when I leave the Lord's table? What do I do after supper at the table? Amen. That day, one chose, John did, to lean on the bosom of Christ. Another chose to betray Him. Now here's the thing, at Jesus' table, only one can lean on His bosom because of the seating arrangement. But I'm telling you, at this table, every one of us can make a decision. I'm going to lay my head on the bosom of Christ. I'm not going to be a Judas that leaves supper and goes out and lives my own thing, but I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. I'm telling you what I'm going to do after supper. I'm going to walk more closely with Him. I'm going to follow Him more closely. I'm going to love Him more dearly. I'm going to be a John and not a Judas after supper, because John left Brother Laredo and he's the only one that didn't run. He followed the Lord clear through all his trial and his passion. Amen. So what happens when we leave the table? Amen. Verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went out immediately. And it was night. I want to tell you, I know it's just speaking of the actual night of an actual day. But I want to tell you, I want to promise you, you can write it down. Whenever a person leaves the table of the Lord to depart, every time they're going to enter in tonight, things are going to get dark. Maybe not right up, but it's night. To leave the Lord for this world, you leave the light at the table for the night on the outside. Hallelujah. It's usually not after supper. I know we're having the Lord's communion in the daytime. But if someone rejects Christ in this service, you're going to leave through those doors. It's going to be night for your soul. Don't be a Judas. Be a John. Be a John. Amen. Draw closer to Him. It is very possible that when Judas walked out, I want you to think of this. I'm just close to being done. When Judas walked out, Brother Cecil, he's still holding that piece of bread Jesus handed him. Think of that. If he left it on the table, he's still chewing. Because the Bible says he went immediately. Jesus said, he it is to whom I've give the sop, and he went immediately out. He's walking out the door, knowing what he's going to do, and he's got the very bread in his hand that the Lord had handed him at supper. I've seen people walk through these doors with bread in their hands that the Lord had given them. But they made up their mind they was going to do their own thing. God could not have blessed them more. The Lord could not have spoken more clearly to their hearts. But they walked out of the door with the very blessings of God in their hand, never to come to His table. After supper, after supper, He would never share that table or any table with the Lord again. He left the table for His own destruction. Judas went out after betraying the Lord and he hanged himself. Amen. If following Jesus wasn't what he thought it would be, I'm telling you one thing, rejecting Christ certainly wasn't what he thought it would be. Judas said, this following the Lord wasn't what I thought it would be. You're in trouble, because out there certainly isn't what you think it's going to be. Amen. After supper. Oh God, get a hold of some heart this morning. How's it going to be after supper? Amen. Would you come, music? Some have left this communion table never to partake here again. Amen. They've left this table to their own destruction. But it doesn't have to be that way. One of the things I love to do, we have someone get saved. I love this. Someone gets saved. And then that next communion Sunday morning, I love to be able to announce so-and-so's here. And this is their first communion. Because last time we had communion, they weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. But they've gotten saved, Sister Rock. And today is their first communion. Don't your hearts get excited when we make that announcement? Or maybe you just look around, you see someone that's never been in communion. Doesn't your heart thrill when you see someone partake of their first communion? And well it ought. But Brother Joe, as much as that thrilled me, what disturbs me is that this could be someone's last communion. It was Judas' last communion. And after supper, he went out and betrayed the Lord. I don't want you to think of people's names, but you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it happen. Oh, what are you going to do after supper? What are you going to do after this? Is this, look, you say, Brother Hurst, we do this every month. It's a ritual. No, sir. This is a table of the Lord. And at this table, you're going to encounter His presence. And the call is, further commit yourself. Further devote yourself. Further make up your mind. You're going to fall. Oh, how many has found it a wonderful thing to sit at His table? Feast of His goodness. How many knows Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are? He invites His chosen people. Come and dine. What are you going to do after supper? It is a ritual if it leaves us unchanged. But we're going to encounter Him this morning, and encountering Him, make the decision, young people, be a John. Make up your mind right then. You like leaning on the bosom of Christ. And when they take Christ to crucify Him, you follow. You follow right there. John was right there at the cross. I mean, he followed. Amen. As close as he could get. Oh, he wasn't a Judas. Amen. After supper, is it going to be John or Judas in your heart? Oh, Lord, I want it to be John. I want to say after supper, I want to love Him more dearly. I want to follow Him more closely. Decision time. What are you going to do after supper? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, move with Your Holy Spirit across this building. God, if there's one lost this morning, let him hear the clear call, the clear loving call of our Lord, calling them to Himself. Lord, I pray they'd say yes. Lord, I pray for that one been going through things, mulling them around in their minds, maybe even tempted of the enemy. Satan has entered into their thoughts and entered into their fears, entered into their life. And they're wondering, is this really what I want to do? Is this really what I want my life to be about? Holy Spirit, I pray You'd arrest their hearts. And instead of being a Judas at this supper, they would make up their mind, I'm just going to lean my head more firmly on the bosom of Christ. Lord, touch us in this Lord's Supper.